We're sponsored by Overcast, an independent podcast app that embraces the open world of podcasting instead of locking it down.
No exclusives, no premium content, no paywalls. Just a great podcast app for everyone.
Get it for free in the App Store. Happy New Year, Ned!
Happy New Year!
We are technically like 2 weeks in, but we haven't recorded since the new year, so I thought it would be a place to tell everyone happy
New Year. What are you talking about, Mackenzie? It's January 1st, 2022.
Oh God, don't scare me like that. Can you imagine if I just like thought I made up 2 weeks of my life? that would be my hell.
It's 12:01 a.m. It just happened. We just logged down for the new year.
what if there was a whole thing where, you know how like with daylight savings, you get to like 2 a.m. and then it just like jumps back to 1 a.m.? What if that happened with a month? Like we got to January 31st and then it just fucking jumped back to January 1st.
Actually, it's still January. It's just January forever.
Yeah, every month is January now.
Yeah, because everybody knows that February 1st, the clock always resets to January 31st. And so
it's
been January 1st or 31st for about 6 years now.
We're in purgatory.
Yay!
Welcome to Wisteria Gaze. Oh, I'm so glad to be back. I haven't watched an episode of Desperate Housewives in too long, and I am so glad to be watching it again with you. My name is Mackenzie, by the way.
My name is Ned.
And we're going to dive into this little... Do you not know?
I'm unsure. New year, new me.
Every year you change your name. You're like, I'm taking it literally. I'm getting a new license. I'm getting a new passport. I'm getting a new social security number. New year, new me. I am fully doing that.
I mean, I probably will have to at some point get all of those things.
Yeah, and I love that for you. So we have a lot to dive in here with episode 313. You ready to freaking dive in? I got a lot of shit for you at the top of this epi.
I wanna dive in the sodi, Mackenzie. I wanna play fast and loose. I wanna get through that. I wanna get through this sodi as fast as we can.
We're speedrunning Desperate Housewives.
I wanna do the world's first podcast speedrun recap.
I love that. I wanna start off. I have a little email. Little email to share as a reminder. Well, it's from the one, the only, Sarah Schroeder, who is also a new patron this week.
Whoa!
Welcome, Sarah, to the Patreon. And also, anybody, you can always send us a letter at wisteriagazepodcast@gmail.com. We'll read it because we love it. And so this is from Sarah. Subject line, love your show. Hey there, I discovered your podcast last week and I've binged almost all the episodes already. Oh, what an icon. You two are so witty and have wonderful senses of humor. Thank you. I love your take on the characters and the writing. I should be ashamed to admit that I've seen every episode of Desperate Housewives 4 or more times. And listening to your recaps feels like watching the show with friends. Keep killing it at podcasting, Sarah.
Whoa, thank you, Sarah.
That's so sweet.
That's
always the nicest compliment. I love getting it. It's the greatest honor when someone says, I feel like I'm just watching the show with my friends, because that's what it feels like for us. And I'm glad that it feels like, I feel like you all are friends and we're all just watching the show together.
Yeah, I'm very glad that is the vibe here, because I love hanging out.
I love hanging. This is like the highlight of my week, getting to hang and just talk about TV with you.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Oh, God, what a good start. What a good start to my day.
I got my coffee, I got my MJ, I got my Despy Housewives. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, hey, I loved it, because we're going to get into season 3, episode 13. This episode premiered January 21st, very close to
the day we're at currently,
2007, and was written by Valerie Ahern and Christian McLaughlin, new writers to us. And I have some hilarious stuff to share, because I fell into a rabbit hole. So they're a writing duo, and they've worked on such shows as Clueless, a TV adaptation of the movie, The Young and the Restless, Married with Children, Drawn Together, The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. And my personal favorite, Brandy and Mr. Whiskers, which is a show I really thought was a fever dream that I made up.
It
was only playing at like 2 in the morning on Disney Channel.
They wrote for Married with Children?
Yes.
Wow.
And then they went right to Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. And of course,
honestly, the same kind of show.
And I have a fun fact. So I fell into a bit of a Wikipedia hole. Mm-hmm. So the Christian McLaughlin, the guy of this yeah. duo, he was part of a controversy in 2004 because he was a consulting producer for a reality show called Seriously, Dude, I'm Gay. And GLAAD raised a bunch of huff about it and got it pulled before air. And they were starting with like a special, like a single episode that was intended to like gauge interest for the series. And this is what it said the show was about. Because it's like, I need to know. Quote, two heterosexual men compete for a $50,000 prize based on their ability to pass as gay for a week, including convincing their friends and family that they, the competitors, are truly, genuinely gay and coming out on the television program. As its conclusion, the two would be judged by a panel of gay men who had been told that only one of them was gay, and the panel would have to decide which one they think is the gay guy, meaning who looks the gayest, quote unquote, I don't know, and then they would win $50,000.
How can I watch this?
I know. I was like, is this anywhere on the internet? There was apparently Fox was like glad. They said in hindsight they were glad that GLAAD intervened because they had previously had a show that I think we can find that was called Playing It Straight. That was a big flop for them. And the premise of that was basically like The Bachelorette, but there's some gay guys in there. And then the Bachelorette does not know who's gay and who's straight of the guys she's dating.
Can I plug a different podcast real quick? Because this reminds me of a podcast that's out right now.
Please. Yeah. What's up?
So the podcast that this makes me think of there is a 7-episode podcast called Harsh Reality, the story of Miriam Rivera.
Ooh.
So it was written by Agnes Berinsky and it's hosted by Trace Lysette.
Oh, I love Trace Lysette.
Yeah, Trace Lysette. It is about a reality TV show that happened in the early 2000s. So the TV show was called There's Something About Miriam, and it was a bachelorette like style show, but the twist, quote unquote, was that Miriam was a trans woman.
Yes, I think I saw this because I thirst follow Trace on Instagram, so I have seen the podcast. I haven't listened to it yet, though.
It's very good.
That's so cool. I have to check it out. Thank you for sharing that. Don't ever feel bad for plugging another show. Reality TV was such a fascinating thing, especially in that window of like 2002 to like 2009. Like, very wild. Let's get back to Desperate Housewives. So this was directed by Larry Shaw, who we know. For hashtag Sondheim Watch, this episode was called Come Play With Me. And it's from the musical Come Play With Me, Please. It's from the musical Anyone Can Whistle. And for Wisteria International, most of them were just Come Play With Me, which was funny. But in Germany, it was called Perfidious. Which I thought was interesting. I think it means like disloyal or untrustworthy.
All right.
Listen to me be wrong about that. But yeah, that's all I got for the top of the episode. Sorry we went off on a tangent. That'll be our reality TV podcast we do one day.
Guess what? New year, fresh start. No more saying I'm sorry in these episodes for me. So crap off.
So fuck you for saying you're sorry, okay?
Fuck you, everyone. And let's talk about
Desperate Housewives. I hope no one listens to this with their children. I don't know who would. Some person's kid's first word is fuck you guys because of us.
Orson loves teeth.
He jammies.
He loving on his teeth. He loves his teeth so much. He is an expert in teeth, which makes him, not many people know, an expert in deduction as well. He's 100% at L.A. Noir about 3 times already.
Oh, I fucking love that game.
It's a great game.
We see like a quick montage of people like showing their teeth to him. And I thought it was so fucking funny that it was people showing them their personal teeth and then Bree showing him a bag of teeth and being like, hello. And Bree thinks that this means Alma killed Monique. And I think this is the first time we're seeing this thesis, correct? This, like, idea. She's like, I think this is a clue that she's trying to frame you. And he's really weirdly calm about this. He's, like, weirdly chill in a way that I was like, Brie, why are you not noticing how weirdly chill he is right now?
Yeah, he's giving me kind of some creepo vibes.
He's having some big old creepo vibes. I did love the line, I'm not sleeping on a bed that had your dead mistress's teeth in it. Thought that was funny.
Yeah. That's about all we get for the opening, right?
Basically, like, she wants to take them to police, and Orson's like, no, we can't prove that they came from Alma's house, so just, like, let's put them back in Alma's house and frame her. And Bree's like, oh, you're so hot and so smart. I love that. And then just, like, leaves. And we get the creepo where he calls his mom, and he's like, Mother, I know what you and Alma are doing. And that's basically it.
Mm-hmm. I love how everybody calls her Mother Hodge.
Mother Hodge. I think Mother Hodge is fucking funny.
Yeah. We then get our opening credits.
The full credits.
Yeah. Full credits. I love
it. It breathes life into me.
We then come back, and at first I thought that Jane was waking up.
Me too. I was like, whoa, and then it went in a completely different direction.
Completely. Instead of waking up, she's getting a little deeper into that sleep. Some could say a little too far, too deep.
One might presume she's going to the eternal sleep in which we don't wake up from. One might say that, yes.
We find out that she has a fever. And then we cut to Ian, Susan, and Mike, and Mike's new lawyer.
Yes.
Mike's lawyer essentially says, like, I have a great way to help him out. And we quickly find out it is to plead guilty.
And Susan is pissed.
Yeah.
But Ian is correct. Like, this, you kind of have to work the system. You know what I mean? And he is correct that if he pleads guilty, he'll get 10 years max. 5 years probably for good behavior. Whereas if he goes to trial, pleads not guilty, all this evidence is thrown against him, he could risk life. And honestly, 5 years versus your whole life is not that bad. But Susan is not happy about that.
And Susan wants to get him a new lawyer, but Ian says, no, if you're doing that, you're using your own money. This is the lawyer I bought, and so this is the lawyer he gets. And he walks away.
Ian is a sourpuss this episode.
Yeah. I mean, he has a lot going on. His wife is... It's not doing too hot.
Well, he doesn't.
I mean, she's doing hot, right? But
because they haven't called him yet.
Oh,
they,
like, yeah.
Which, oh my god, this. I just thought about this. Sorry, spoiler alert. As we're where Jane is going to die at the end of this episode, and it's very sad. Actually, we'll talk about it when we get there. But I'm just now realizing the doctors being like, we don't want to bother him. He might not have left on that trip had they called and said she was doing badly. So the reason why he's not there is kind of the fucking doctor's fault. I just noticed this while I was thinking about it.
Yeah, they were also like, she's had something like this before and it went down, it went away. So maybe let's just wait and see.
They should tell him, because he would not have left. You know he wouldn't have left. Oh, man. So that breaks my heart a little bit. I only just noticed that as we were speaking. But then we cut to Lynette trying on clothes. I actually love there's sometimes little moments that feel very real to me. And I loved her having to stand on the bed because they don't have a full length mirror. Because I used to do that when I was a kid. I would like stand up on like on like the bathtub to see myself in the bathroom mirror full length. So I loved that. I was like, oh yeah, I recognize that from a poor household. We love to see it. She's trying on clothes. She's getting ready to go back to work. Parker Nation comes in and he's sad that mommy's going. And he's such a mama's boy. And she's like, are you trying to guilt trip me to staying? And he's like, yeah, because he loves his mama. And that's kind of all we get for that scene.
Yeah. We then go to Gabby and the Gorls and Vern.
I love Vern.
And literally all that happens is Sherry wins Little Miss Snowflake. And that's it? Oh, and then after, I completely forgot because I didn't want to remember. After everybody is gone, Chloe Grace Moretz is out the door. Who else comes up to Gabby than her lover, Zach Young?
Oh, Lord. And he paid off the judges.
His long, flowing hair. Yeah.
he paid off the judges for Gabby's girl to win, and she's pissed. And the line, "I love it when we banter," is the wildest thing I've ever heard. It did make me laugh. Like, Zach is, I feel like in the past, he's just a creepazoid. And he is a creepazoid here, but I think he's funny. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, I think his lines are funny in this arc. And so I'm like, okay, you can be a creep because you're at least kind of funny. Her calling him a pimply psychopath was also very funny.
There's some good lines in this one.
Okay, yeah, this episode had a lot of good one-liners for me that I adored. I
feel like the show is ramping up their one-liners a lot more, and I think it's going to get even wilder as we keep going. Like,
I can't wait. I need more jokes.
Yeah. My next two notes are just Alma and Orson, and then my pills.
What I have is that Alma arrives home and Orson is being a creepazoid, speaking of creepazoids, and sitting in her home already waiting for her. And he admits to her, and they basically both know that Bree found the teeth. And she's like, "I'll go to the police." And he's like, "No, you won't, because you don't know where I hid the teeth. And they could be in your house, but they could not be. And why would you risk that?" And so they kind of get to a stalemate in terms of who's going to call the police on who. And I don't know where pills. Oh,
I remember
that thing. Yeah. I was like, where are pills in that scene? Oh, wow. Yeah, that's the next scene, because we cut to the Scabo house again.
Yeah, apparently in my brain, the Alma and Orson scene was vastly unimportant, but Lynette's screaming about how she needs her pills because her arm hurts so bad to get out of work was very important.
Oh my gosh, yes, because at the Scabos, Tom walks in and mentions that his new manager quit, and there's a street fair coming up, and Lynette is like, and I think Parker mentioned it. I think in the last scene, he was like, "You won't be able to come to the street fair with us." So they're peppering this street fair as a thing that's going to be a huge advertising ploy for the pizzeria. And Tom kind of asks her to fake sick. So that this was very funny. I want to see if I can just find this audio and put it in, because it was so funny. But yeah, it was Lynette just faking sick, and the pills moment was the funniest shit in the world.
Yeah.
Listen, we then go. So funny when they let her be funny. They're all so funny when they let them be funny, is the thing.
Yeah, and I think that's why the show gets roped into the comedy section sometimes. It's just because the funny moments of this show right now are so spread out that they're the most memorable things to me.
Yes, yes. Can I say some slander?
Please.
I'm gonna slander our boy, Mike.
Okay.
Because I'll let you explain this scene, but I want to say the acting that this man did in the opening of this scene is the worst acting I've ever seen on this show.
I'll try to read it. Like,
it was I was like devoid of emotion. It was the worst thing. I had to pause. I was laughing so hard at how stupid I thought it was, his acting in that moment. "What are you reading? Oh, nice book." "Not." And like throws his book across the room. I was like, what is going on? I just thought it was so bad and funny.
I like the part when Paul's like, "Zach is your son." They're like, "We don't only share a cell." And then Mike's like, "What?"
That was so wild. I forgot, honestly, till later that he still hasn't gotten his memory back. Mm-hmm. I like totally fucking forgot that Mike is still an amnesiac, technically, because like I didn't even I was like, oh fuck yeah, he doesn't know who Zach is because he doesn't have his memories. I like totally forgot about that plot point.
I would never forget. I'm not Mike.
And then we cut to a scene that I thought was very juicy and very fun. Basically, Gloria comes, Mother Hodge, sorry, her Christian name, Mother Hodge, comes to see Bree, and a great, great, great line when Gloria is like, "Can I come in?" And Bree says, "What's a garden without a snake?" Excellent line. And basically, Gloria is like, Alma wants Orson back. And technically, our church doesn't believe in divorce, so you are the other woman, and he will always be married to Alma. And Bree just fucking sprays her with a hose and is like, get the fuck out of my yard, bitch. And I love this.
I loved that. I loved her being like, are those shoes suede? Yeah, why? No reason. And just sprays her down.
I gotta say, Brie, titties out, hair amazing, makeup great, being a bitch, dare I say, serving cunt. I think we are in peak. We are slowly entering peak Brie era so far, because she is like, for me, I'm like, she's looking good. She's being a bitch. She's being iconic. And I'm kind of obsessed with Brie as of late.
She's finally coming into like her crown. She's grown into it.
I'm kind of living like she might be becoming my favorite character.
At the end of the season, I would love to hear like who each of our favorite housewife is, because it might be changing.
Brie is inching into my top housewife spot more than I thought she was going to, especially with like later in this episode. I was like, bitch, I'm in love with you. So I just wanted to say, I think we are entering like peak Brie right now. This is so good.
We then go back to Paul and Mike.
Yeah, that's like 2 seconds where he finds out that Zach's his son, and Paul asks him for a favor, but we don't. I think we find out it's just like he's like, I want to see Zach, and it's stupid.
Yeah. So then we cut to. So we cut to Susan and Lynette, and Susan's getting all of the exposition from Lynette about what's going on with Gabby and Zach for some
like
reason.
The last two episodes, yeah, Lynette's like, Susan, you went around the last two episodes. Here's what's going on.
You've been so absorbed in your own life, you haven't even texted us. So it cuts immediately from that to Susan going up to Gabby to be like, you have to go on this date with Zach so you can get Zach to pay for a new lawyer for Mike. You just have to.
The line, let's not pretend we're above teenagers, I fell out of my seat laughing. I was like, oh my God, Susan. Susan going for the jugular right now.
Yeah. Gabby was just dead on the floor, unable to go on that date.
She was dead. She fully died in that scene.
Eventually, Gabby agrees. And then we cut to, he was a rocker boy. She said, I have a locker boy. You better get in here right now. She is his high school bully. She meaning Gabby. Jock Gabby. Nerd Zach.
Are you writing a fanfic right now for our next fanfic episode?
Yeah, we're only 5,000 listens away from 50,000, which means new fanfic episode coming soon.
Why not?
Soon.
We've made this rule for ourselves. Let's do it.
Or we could just watch the Christmas movie that we didn't
We should. Let's do it. Someone messaged us on Instagram about that and was like, you should watch this, and I want to.
We should do like a Discord movie night.
Oh, that'd be fucking lit.
Yeah.
But hey, we're at this bachelor pad right now.
Zach is rocking it out. That's why he's got the long hair. So he can fucking headbang.
I think that actor, and we see him play acoustic guitar later. I think that actor like actually plays guitar. Like I think that That's he actually rad. Is a musician, yeah.
But yeah, this whole scene is just a negotiation of the date.
Yes.
They agree on two meals, starting with lunch, and a kiss at the end of the date.
Yes. And I'm glad that Gabby was very upfront with him about why. She was just like, yeah, Susan wants Mike out, so, and he offers to just fully pay the bail, like the $1 million bail. So like, I don't know, I liked that it wasn't like a weird like she throws it in at the end of the day to try to make him do it. Like I'm glad that she was upfront, was like, I'm doing this for this very reason.
This is the start of businesswoman Gabby.
Oh, businesswoman Gabby, when is she gonna open her own business line. Gabby with her own makeup line would be great, or her own like clothing line.
Yeah,
I need entrepreneur Gabby.
All of the women should be entrepreneurs. Gabby can do like makeup and clothes. Lynette, spoiler alert, restaurant mogul.
Yes, restaurant mogul. She's going to freaking franchise the shit out of Scavo Pizzeria.
Brie should make a cookbook.
Okay.
That would be really cool.
She becomes like Martha Stewart.
Yeah. Susan finally does her job.
and writes a kid's book.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to the show.
Yes, because we see Tom and Lynette are working that fair, and their freaking booth is so stinking popular.
Mm-hmm.
And Lynette looks so happy, and so does Tom. Yeah. They all look so fucking jazzed and are just having a good time. I love that.
Mm-hmm. And we go to Klusky and Kayla at home. Why wasn't Kayla at the...
I think she refused to go because... Probably. The tiny bit where McCluskey's talking to her, she's like, hi, Kayla, like, can we talk about, like, how you kind of hurt Lynette's feelings when you said you didn't want to go to the fair? So, like, I think it's just Kayla being a brat and McCluskey trying to talk to her, but then Ed shows up.
Yeah, Ed shows up with a Garrett's popcorn tub, ready to hand it off to Lynette, and... Klusky says, well, she's not home right now. She had to go to the doctor. And then little snaky snake, Kayla, sneaks out of the house and goes, sometimes our babysitter gets confused.
I was so mad.
And she outs that trout.
She outs that fucking trout. The thing is, this kid just lost her mom. And she is dealing with a lot of shit because her whole life was basically uprooted multiple times, right? Because, like, her mom moved all the way to Fairview, and she probably had to start a new school, and, like, right after that was happening, her mom died. She's dealing with so much, but I also hate the way this kid is acting. She's just, like, literally looks like she's playing The Omen. Like, she is literally a demon baby. And I just, I wish there was more nuance here, because it is just, she is a very annoying character to me. I was so mad, this little child.
What follows next is Ed finding out that Lynette lied to him. He tries to fire her. She says, I will do anything and everything for you. Just please do not fire me. I will be at work on Monday. And he tells her, you're going to be at work on Monday. And if I tell you to miss your kid's baseball game, you're going to miss your kid's baseball game. If I tell you to stay late, you're going to stay late. That's going to be the new deal. Goodbye. See you Monday.
Remember when Ed was, like, kind of a cool guy? And now he's...
No.
He, like, used to be really nice to her, and I mean, I understand that he's, like, the whole company's falling apart and they've been paying her, like, a full salary for, like, 2 months. Like, I understand that. But yeah, I'm like, oh shit. And Parker hears that and Parker's sad.
We then get Ian finding out that Jane has taken a turn, and he is calling Susan to go check on her to make sure she's all right because he cannot be there.
Yeah. And that was so sad. This whole part, this whole ending scenario with Susan and Jane and Ian is very sad to me.
Mm-hmm.
We get into it more later because for now we see that Gabby is arriving home from her date with Zach, and she's laughing and he's laughing, and it seems like they had a good night. And he researched her favorite things from old magazine articles she did, which is creepy, but she seems to be still kind of charmed by it. And it seems like actually Gabby's enjoying herself until he goes in with, he looks like, you know, that thing in Star Wars, that just giant gaping maw that is like that they try to push Luke Skywalker into.
Yeah, like the worm.
Yeah, that's what he looks like coming into Gabby's mouth, just trying to, he's a giant worm trying to eat her whole. And Gabby pushes him off.
Sorry, just that phrase. It's known as a sand borer.
Okay, yeah, that's what he's like. He just and just tries to inhale her, and she pushes him off. And there's a very strange little moment that I guess is for this moment later, where she sort of deduces that he has been with sex workers, which is fine. But she kind of like slut shames him for that, which is weird. But I think it's mostly there to prompt the conversation that happens with them later. But yeah, Gabby does some weird, like, shaming him for being with sex workers, and it's like, let him live his life and let them get their money. I don't know. Well, Gabby, chill out.
It's also that, like, they end up kissing, and he tries to swallow, like you said, he's the worm, and he tries to swallow her face, and we find out that he's paid women to tell him he's even just like a good kisser.
Oh, she was, I was under the impression that he paid like sex workers, and that they, because it's their job, were like, oh yeah, you're really good at this. And he was like,
no,
because
she's
really
like, how many girls did you pay to say that to you? And he's silent, and she's like, you paid for people
Oh, I took it as like he just had sex with these women and they were just like, you're great at that, because I don't know. Mm. They're making.
I thought it was kind of both. I thought he paid extra for them to be like, "You're so good."
I'll slide you another 100 if you compliment me.
Hey, I'd do it.
If I had money,
I would take the 100. Is what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely. I would be like, Zach, you are the sexiest man on earth. Can I have $1,000, please?
I love how your abs ripple in the sun.
But first, we have to cut to away before we get more of this weird Gabby Zach situation. Susan is arriving to Jane's room, and a woman is kicking a guy out. And then when Susan walks, this was very confusing to me, but when Susan walks up, she's like, "You organ donor people are vultures." And then she's like, "No, I'm just Susan." And she's like, "Oh, yeah, the girlfriend." And they waited a second to tell us who this woman is. But her name is Erica, and she's self-described as Jane's best friend, which I feel like they should have told us immediately. But because I was just like, who the fuck are you? I thought she was like a nurse or something for a while. And I think I wrote "lote" for Erica because she has vibes.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah.
Yeah, she has gay vibes. So "lote" for Erica. And she tells Susan that the guy she was kicking out of the room was a guy named Ted, who Jane had an affair with before her coma. And I think that we as an audience are supposed to be like, oh, that's why he's so jealous, because he was cheated on. Which, like, yes, when you get cheated on, like, things root in you. But also, like, Susan is a new relationship, and I think that, like, it is something you need to work through to not bring your past trauma to your new relationship. Like, give Susan the chance to be faithful and give Susan the chance to prove her love to you. I say that all knowing she's clearly in love with Mike, but you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like he's been taking a lot of his shit on Jane out on Susan. And I think that's what, I think maybe the show is trying to be like, feel bad for him, because now it makes sense. But for me, I'm just like, you're taking all of your anger on Jane out on Susan. That's not really right, to me, at least.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I definitely agree.
Yeah, and it also, I mean, Ian's not there. Clearly, her and this man were in love. And knowing she's dying, maybe unpopular opinion, feels kind of shitty to kick him out. Because clearly he still loves her if he's still coming around the hospital trying to see her. And, like, she's about to die. I don't know. I feel like this guy should have had the chance to say goodbye if they were, like, in love with each other. I don't know. I know that she's married, but, like, Ian's fucking other people too, like, at this point. So, like, why can't,
and, like, Ted, his girlfriend gets to come in.
Yeah, like, why can't Ted say goodbye? Justice for Ted. Ted should have been able to say goodbye to the woman he loved, even though they had an affair, but whatever.
So go to wisteria.gay to our merch page and get a Justice for Ted shirt.
Yeah, good lord. I do, speaking of the next scene we're going into, I do want to make a Scavo Pizzeria shirt.
Oh, yeah, that'd be so fun.
We've got to recreate the logo. Yeah, we got to recreate the logo and do a Scavo Pizzeria shirt. Absolutely.
We can revamp the abstinence shirt.
Yes.
So, in this next scene, like you just said, Scavo's Pizzeria.
Hey,
Lynette is walking up to Tom and saying, "Hey, I heard you need a new manager." And she's going to work for the pizzeria.
Yay. I love this for her.
Yeah. Didn't I say she was going to work in a restaurant?
You did. This is one of your predictions come true.
Yeah.
When you said that, I was literally like, I swear to God, they're omniscient. They're fucking psychic. Because, yes, this was what came into my brain when you said that. It is very funny when you say things that are correct and I just have to be like, Because
have I said anything recently that's been true?
Yes.
How recent?
I can't tell you because then you'll know.
Oh, okay.
Oh, this episode.
What?
That's how recent you've said things that are true.
That's funny.
I will not lie. A lot of your predictions are correct.
I just know soap operas, I guess.
Yes.
Desperate Housewives is in my blood. Anyway, that's all we get from that scene. We then cut to Andrew! Oh. But not really Andrew. It's not a heavy Andrew scene.
I still loved seeing him, though.
Oh, yeah. Orson comes home. The phone is ringing. It's Elma.
It's Elmo.
It's Elmo.
Hi, Orson. Elmo's just calling to say hi.
And so he hangs up, and then another phone call comes in, and it's Alma. And yes. She's not just calling to say hi. She did something, and she needs him to come over. Or it's his mom.
Oh, yeah. I think she's like,
Alma did something. You need to come over quickly.
Yeah.
And so he goes. Immediately, my first thought. Okay. Let me paint the scene for you.
Tell me.
He okay. goes in. It's Alma's bedroom. She...
Oh, this is what you thought was going to happen, by the way. Is this
No. I'm painting the picture of what he walks in on. So I want to say content warning okay. for suicide.
Yes.
We will find out that it, spoiler alert, has been faked. But yes, there's but some visuals.
Are still there.
So he walks in. Alma is on her bed. Her wrists have been cut. And
a recurring theme this season, I should
yeah,
say.
Yeah, that's true.
With yeah. Danielle and now Alma.
Mother Hodge is there, and they're all freaking out. I immediately went, this is so staged.
Yes.
And, spoiler.
Because she's laying like Christ on the bed.
Alma Christ figure, conspiracy, desperate housewives, her faked death is a resurrection. Also, I fucking said she was gonna fake her death. That's another prediction.
I'm sorry. I'm imagining the YouTube thumbnail of Alma Christ figure. Desperate.
Should I make a joke video like that?
Yes, you should.
Okay. If some people send me some things that they want in that video, I'll make a script and I'll upload that as a video this year. My Alma Christ figure conspiracy.
I would love to make like fake Desperate Housewives conspiracy theory videos and just put them online and see if people engage with them.
Well, I'm gonna do one.
Good Lord. Thank God. Orson reads the note that is like, you won't be with me, so I'm gonna just leave. And Orson also seems kind of like angry, and he says the line, which I think is why I brought up Danielle, is because he's like, she knows my history and she knows what buttons to push, because we saw Orson get deeply triggered by what happened with Danielle. And so I'm, you know, getting the impression that suicide is like a thing that is harmful mm-hmm. for him. And then I want to say content warning for, again, this whole sequence was very content warning heavy. But yeah, content warning for this next sequence for the use of roofies and date rape, to be mm-hmm. blunt. Because he's drinking some whiskey, I think, that his mom is pouring for him. And he is like, I'm not going to deal with this. She's trying to control me and I'm not going to do this. And he tries to stand up and he cannot. He falls back down and he's clearly been roofied. And then we see, as you very correctly clocked, that it is fake. Alma gets up. She's fine. And it was the wildest cut to commercial because I thought it was over.
And then it just comes back.
Where she's like, I want a grandchild. And Alma's in this weird lingerie. Knowing she's in this with like her mother-in-law is what's even weirder to me. Because then, yes, we come back. And then we won't get into detail with it, if it, but basically Alma says she's been injecting herself with hormones. Alma, and she wants to make him have a baby with her. And I would say skip this if it's triggering for you. She pushes him on the bed and explains that she also laced the drink with Viagra, which is wild. And yeah, she rapes him, but we don't really see it. We see a cut to black, mm-hmm. basically. She puts on the most unsexy song in the universe.
I think it's super hot. She puts on Raging Hard.
It sounds like it's literally coming out of like a phonograph from 1932. Like, it is the oldest sounding version of that
song.
She
looked up on YouTube, you know, those videos where it's like Dancing Queen, but it's raining and you're in the school bathroom on prom night. Like, she looked up one of those.
That's exactly what it sounded like. I was like, what the fuck is this song? And then we finally, thank God, leave this moment.
Yes, we do.
I fucking hate her. I want to go on record, say fuck her forever.
We then cut to another heavy scene where we find out that Jane is most likely going to die very soon. So Susan gets Ian on the phone, and since he can't make it back in time, or he probably won't make it back in time, she wants to give him some last words, so she holds the phone up to her ear.
That was very sweet. Yeah. And it seems like he really wants to just like get rid of this anger he's been letting weigh him down. Mm-hmm. I thought this was very sweet. This is like the first time I was like really felt bad for Ian, which I know sounds wild, but this is the first time I was like, oh, you're very sad and I feel bad for you, actually.
Mm-hmm. Then we cut to Gabby and Zach getting matching friendship anklets at Claire's.
Yes, that's what happens.
I don't know. I feel like they're just like hanging out a little bit and they're bonding.
Yeah, I think I don't see the point of this pairing. Like her being like, let's just be friends. I'm like, you're a grown ass woman. Mm. He's an 18-year-old boy. I'm not saying you can't know him, because when we pull back, like, he is one of her best friend's mm-hmm. son, right? Like he's the kid of one of her best friends. Like it makes sense that like the women would want to be in his life and keep up with him because he was Mary Alice's kid. But just like being besties with him feels really yeah. weird for Gabby to me. Like I don't see the point of this. I
can
guess.
You believe that this relationship is what The Last of Us sprung from?
No. I didn't realize. Yeah,
Naughty Dog saw Desperate Housewives and we're like, we got to make that a game.
We got to fucking do this.
We then go to Queen Bree, finding out what happened, storming immediately over to Alma's house, Alma saying, his baby is in me right now, and then getting this shit
That's
smacked
how it
out
works.
Of her.
You know, a baby just shoots into somebody when you
And it always is 100%. Every time.
Yeah. Yeah, she really, really trusts that this one time is going to get her Jesus. Pregnant. I did, and it is not a funny circumstance, I did laugh at Bree. Bree's been so fucking funny this season, but her being like, I caught you cheating on me. The least you can do is wake up. Like, I thought that was fucking funny, because it's like before she realized
yeah.
what's happening.
Because I forgot for a moment that Orson was still on the bed. Yeah.
Yes. I thought that was funny, but I hate that this happened. And I was telling you this offline. I love that Bree immediately like says what it is. She like turns to Alma and is like, "You raped my husband," mm-hmm. and yeah, fucking knocked her into the next house. Like Hulk smashes her through the wall and like down the street. Yeah. Like I fucking loat for her knocking Alma's lips
yeah.
out.
Do you want?
If I'm being,
do
honest,
you want to give it to her?
I
yeah,
do.
Let's do it.
Bree for fucking punching Alma in the goddamn jaw, because she deserves it. And yeah, I feel like sometimes with shows and media, particularly when like men get raped, it is not called that. It is played for levity. It is played as like, well, all men love sex, so like, why would they hate that? It's always played for a joke. And I loved that in this moment, Desperate Housewives, which tends to go for the low-hanging fruit jokes occasionally, didn't. They were like, no, we're gonna call it what it is and we're gonna be mad about it and have the correct reaction to it. And I was very impressed by Desperate Housewives. I was like, okay, queen, we love to see
yeah.
it. She calls Andrew, tell him to get the wheelbarrow, let's get going, let's get Orson home.
Fuck yeah. Let's yeah. get him home. But now let's, and by him, sorry, and by him, I mean Mike. And he is home. He has a small, kind of like sad interaction with Zach, where Zach goes, do you know who I am? And Zach goes, yes, but I don't really know you. Like, I don't remember you, but I know who you are. And I need you to do something for me. And then Zach and Paul meet.
Yes, this was fucking
this
awkward.
Was so awkward. It's truly just a scene of Zach being like, oh, so you just wanted to say hi, right? You didn't want anything else? And Paul being like, yeah, I love my son and I want to see him. And also, if you want to give me money to hire a private detective so I can hunt down Felicia Tillman, because we both know she faked her death, so I can get out of here and then hunt her down, that would be great.
And Zach is like, no. Heart. Yeah.
No.
I mean, Paul was a bad dad to him.
Yeah.
Like, if I think back to season one, when Paul was very emotionally abusive to him, drugged him, lied to him, did horrific things, and got him involved in them. Like, Paul has been a pretty shitty dad to him. And Zach is a little unhinged right now, but I'm also like, yeah, you're really kind of, you're, this is still fresh wounds, and you're really under no obligation to forgive him right now if you don't want to. So I didn't hate this for Zach.
I think it took a lot of gusto for Zach to stand up to his dad. And he did it once before. And I think now that he's had a lot of time away and just no interaction with him, he's been able to take the time he needs to be like, no, I don't have to give a shit about you.
I don't even know if he thinks of Paul as his dad anymore, because he calls him Paul, and it was like a
It was definitely like a big power move moment to be like, so goodbye, Paul. Just kind of like Zach renouncing him as his father, finally and once and for all.
Yeah. Yeah, so I loved that. Didn't love him calling Gabby his future wife.
No, and saying that he's going to marry her and...
After the scene they just had where they agreed to be besties and now he's trying to, like, be gross and marry her again? King, what are you doing?
He might also just be saying that to, like, prove something to his dad. Prove something that he doesn't need to. Just to be like, I'm rich. I'm successful. I'm the big boy. You're in jail.
Yeah, you're in the diaper now. And then we cut to one final sad scene that had me write in my notes in all caps, are you kidding me? Because Mike walks up to Susan to say hi, little hard eyes, and he's like, you know, I know that Zach paid for this, but something tells me you were involved. And he wants to thank her, and she says, you can thank me by just not seeing me anymore. And I think this is really her putting her foot down and choosing Ian over Mike, which has me saying, are you kidding me? I mean, you can't really break up with a guy when his wife just died, though, probably. That'd be a dick move if he got out of the limo and she was like,
by the way, I know this isn't a good time.
I don't want to. I don't. I think I'm by the way, I think I don't want to do this anymore. Can you imagine?
I can't. As somebody who...
Use your omniscient powers. Tell me how many more episodes Ian and Susan are going to be together.
The rest of the season. They'll break up by the end. They're gonna.
I'm saying that as someone who does not remember.
They're going to try to get married, and then it's going to get called off at the wedding.
That's a big prediction. Yeah.
By either Susan herself or Mike.
Ooh. Oh, I want some Mike pulling the graduate shit more than I want anything in this world. Yeah. And I will say, I do not remember what happens. So who knows? Maybe I'm also making a prediction and I didn't realize it.
Hell yeah. And then we go to our ending credits.
Well, we have our end of episode monologue.
Yes, that's what I meant by credits.
Yes, it's basically just Mary Alice repeating the one from the beginning about how...
It can all happen so quickly.
Life can change, baby.
In the blink of an eye.
In the blink of an eye.
Friendships can blossom.
Zach and Gabby, weirdly.
Careers tossed aside.
Lynette.
And hope rekindled.
Ella with her pregnancy test.
Rest in peace, Jane.
yeah, because then I feel like we see like a second of like Mike and Carlos being the boys. And I feel like the episodes always end with like a cliffhanger, but this just fully ended with Jane's body being wheeled into the elevator and her feet were like exposed, which felt really unsanitary.
Where's her wiki feet? Where's her wiki feet?
What if this actress has a wiki feed and that's on it?
I hope it is.
Oh my god. Well, that was season 3 episode 13.
Yay! We're done!
We did it. Hey, now you see now. We did it. We are so fucking close to the end of season 3. I'm so excited. I can't believe. And I'm so excited for season 4. I'm so fucking...
We're almost halfway through. After season four, we're halfway through with the series.
And season four is a shorter season.
Oh, yeah, because the writer's strike, right?
Yeah, the writer's strike happened in 2009. So it only has like 18 episodes or something weird. Like, it has like, or 17, maybe even. It has like a really weirdly short run. So it's a very short season.
Hell yeah. Well, if you liked us, find us. Goodbye. And then it's the end.
Yeah. If you want to find us on social media, you can find us at Wisteria Gaze on Twitter, at Wisteria Gaze _ on Instagram, or our website, WisteriaGaze.com.
And on our website, you can find some great things like our merch page. We talked about that a little bit earlier in the show, as well as our Discord. Our Discord is great. A lot of people go there. They hang out. They have a good time. There's a spoilery series discussion. I am not allowed in. And we might have a movie night soon. So come hang out.
Yeah.
On our website, you can also find our Patreon. Our Patreon is great. It helps support us. It helps support the show. And God knows we need that money. It is pay what you can with a minimum of $2. So please go to patreon.com. Check us out. See all the cool little rewards you can get, like episode notes, shout outs, and ad-free episodes. So we're going to take the next minute to shout out our patrons. So thank you to Amanda, Kaylin,
Annie,
Drusilla LaFay.
I love that name. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, they're a new patron. Oh, welcome, Drusilla.
Helena.
Elise,
Liv. Kim, Nadia.
Lydia. Another new patron, Sarah.
Another Sarah.
Oh, Sarah Schroeder. Yeah, because we have Sarah Schroeder.
Sarah Sweetheart. Thank you so much for being our patrons. We love you.
We love you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You know what else I love? Reviews.
Tell me.
At the end of every episode, we like posing a question to get those reviews flowing because, believe it or not, reviews help people find our show and they make our day. So, the question for the end of this crop should be, who on Wisteria Lane would you pay to go on a date with?
I mean, obviously I'd pay Edie to go on a date with me.
Really?
I would give her any amount of money.
I would pay...
Yeah, are you kidding me? Edie wouldn't go
on a
date
with me. Yeah, I'm saying, like, who would say no to me?
It would be Edie.
Because, so like, my usual answers, I've already been hooking up with Ida and everybody forever.
Yeah.
So I think I'd have to.
What if you pay Zach?
I would pay Zach to go on a date with me. And then I'd say, do I get cash back rewards?
I love that.
Like, what's the interest rate on this? So, yeah, I'd pay Zach. And hopefully that tricks him into being like, oh, you're paying me for this date. Well, I guess I can spend some money on it.
I feel wanted. We gotta try to get Zach to be our sugar daddy. One Mysterio Land would be your sugar daddy.
So please, please go leave us a review and tell us who you would have to pay to go on a date with you for Mysterio Land. Other than that, you can find me, Ned, on Instagram at Ned Jorts.
And you can find me at Mackenzie Wilkes on probably Twitter only because I'm going private on Instagram because I'm being a little hermit.
I mean, I've made a new Twitter. Should I plug my new Twitter? Should I just let people find it if they find it?
If you want to, it's up to you. I just have been like, I want to make my Instagram for people I personally know. So my Twitter is where you find me mostly publicly.
I'm just going to let people find it if they want to. I put it on our Twitter page. Like, I updated our Twitter to put the new handle.
Oh, okay. Are you scared to say it?
I'm scared to say it, and I'm kind of just like, whatever.
I know. Every day I inch closer and closer to deleting all my social media and just and the apps and getting just a fucking, like, Motorola brick phone and not talking to anybody.
Yeah. Hell, that's what I do. And the first step happened by me getting a new Twitter account. But anyway, please hang out with us in any form, on anywhere. I don't know why I said that like that. But have a good day,
when
everybody.
When I'm not corporeal, when I'm my liquid form, when I'm my gaseous form, hang out with me in any and all forms.
Yes. So, Mackenzie, Yes. I love you.
I love you.
Everyone else out there?
Yeah.
Stay juicy.
Stay juicy.